Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Church at Home. Church at Home is dedicated to restoring original Christianity, which then is based on the truth of God. So we need to understand who is God, what is God, what did he do, and as we saw in the last segment, Paul was preaching God who was creator of the heavens and the earth. Now we know in the beginning, the very first verse in Genesis says, in the beginning, God. So you have to have God first. Created the heavens, created those first, and the earth. And the Bible reveals that there are two who are called God, that is from the Hebrew word Elohim. And Elohim means more than one. It is a unity of plural, very similar to the word they, or both. And later on, we'll have some video cast understanding what is the true relationship between God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But first of all, in order to understand about the creation of God, let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now, this is very interesting and very informative and shows us who did the creating. Because a lot of people think, well, the Father did the creating, and then he created the Son. Well, did that really happen that way, or is that a misinterpretation by men? And as we have found out, and as we know, there's as much confusion in religion and about God as there was, as we saw last time in Acts 17, with all the philosophers there on Mars Hill and their opinions and their arguments and their thoughts and their reasonings and philosophies to explain what is life, who is God, who are we, where are we going. But today, we have a tremendous advantage over them because we have for us preserved the word of truth, which is the Holy Bible. And in the Holy Bible, let's look at it this way. This is God's message to all of mankind and each one of us in particularly. It is also the book of how we can receive eternal life through Jesus Christ for those who seek God and repent and enter into the covenant with Jesus Christ that is recorded in the New Testament, the New Covenant. Now, in order for us to understand about the creation of God, we have to understand who did the creating. Let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was this Word? Was this Word kind of a spirit power that is referred to in the book of Proverbs as wisdom? Who is this Word? Let's notice. And the Word was God. So what this reveals is, there are two who are called God. One, the one who became the Father, and two, the one who became the Son. Now let's see where it talks more about the Son, who is Jesus Christ, and it explains who he was. And this also helps us to understand even more why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when we get to understanding that, is so profound and so absolutely all-encompassing that that is the only sacrifice which can pay for the sins of all of mankind. Let's read on. He was in the beginning with God. Now, if you're with someone, that means there are two of you, correct? Notice verse 3, all things. I want you to look at that. All things. came into being through him, and not even one thing that was created came into being without him. So Jesus Christ is creator. We'll see this in just a little bit, because this is all a part of knowing God and knowing the truth. Because, you see, unless you know God and know the truth, you don't know how to separate right from wrong, good from evil. And if you believe what other people tell you or the misinterpretations of men, or as we saw with Paul, with the philosophies of men, how are you going to know what the truth is? Because, see, without the truth, there's no salvation. Without the truth, there's no standard by which to judge things, so you can know what is right and wrong, good and evil. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let's come down to verse 14. Let's see what it talks about concerning the Word, and we know that this is the one who created everything. But here, let's see what it says about him in verse 14. And the Word became flesh. He was a spirit being, God, and he divested himself of his glory and his divinity to take on the form of human life. Now, why do that? He specifically created human beings in his image. And God made man in his own image and after his likeness. And God created them, male and female created he them. And God called their name Adam. Isn't that interesting? Mr. and Mrs. Adam, first two human beings on earth. Special creation of God, made by the one who became Jesus Christ. So because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, which we have covered earlier in the segments on how old is the earth and how did men get a sinful nature, because of what happened, men took on a sinful nature because of disobeying God to decide for themselves what is right and wrong and good and evil. In other words, they used their own opinion, and also they listened to lies from one called and identified in the Bible as Satan the devil. Now, we'll talk about him later, because he is there to bring all the confusion that we see in the world. But God is in heaven, his word is on earth, and his spirit is available to anyone who seeks him so that they can understand how to come out from all the lies that we see in the world. And all of the lies that we see in the world are presented in the very best light, meaning that they are counterfeits made to look like they're authentic. Well, we're getting a little off the track, but that helps us to understand where we're going and identifying who God is, that he's creator. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, that means dwelt temporarily on the earth. And we ourselves, that is John and the apostles, beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that was a tremendous thing for God to do. And what does that do? That shows that God loves the world. And the one who was creator of the world came to save the world, to save mankind, to save us from sin, to bring us to him, to show us the way of truth and life and what we need to do, how to find God, to lead us to the Father. All of these things are available, and it's all found through the Bible. That's why we need to come to understand, and we're going to see in this segment that God is true. God is righteous. God is holy. So is his word. This is why we are to believe it. Now, a lot of men would say, oh, well, it's filled with myths and lies and things like this. And after all, men wrote the Bible. Well, men did write the Bible. That's true. But who inspired them? Then let's look at the other side of the coin. All of the writings by men against God that there is no God, that there is evolution, who wrote those? Men did. Question, who inspired them? God of the Bible or the God of this world? And as we're going through this, we're going to ask the question, what else has the God of this world inspired that people really, really believe in? And how has that deceived them? Colossians 1, verse 15, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and that is those who have been resurrected from the dead. A lot of people turn here and say, oh, he was the firstborn of all creation. Well, did he create himself? It says that we read in John, the first chapter, that all things came into being through him. There wasn't anything created that was created that he did not create. Question, did he create himself? If he did, how could he create all things? Let's continue on here in verse 16. Because by him were all things created, the things in heaven, the things on earth, the visible, the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all, and by him all things subsist. Now think about that, because that agrees with what we covered in Acts 17, doesn't it? That in him we live and move and have our being, correct? Yes. And that we have been created to be his offspring. But there is a way that we come to that. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Because God, through the power of the resurrection, for those that he is calling, those who are truly seeking him, who come to repentance and baptism and receive the Holy Spirit, that they can become the sons and daughters of God in a special spiritual creation. And that's what salvation is all about, as we have seen in the segments we have done. So you have been saved. All right, let's go on. Firstborn among the dead, so that in all things he might hold the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and having made peace by the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven. Now that's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. Now let's come back here to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and let's see the challenge that God gives. Let's see and understand the greatness and the magnitude and the glory and the power of the one who is called God in the Old Testament, the Lord God, who became Jesus Christ of the New Testament to die as a sacrifice for the sins of his creation, mankind. Come to Isaiah 40. Let's see. Now remember, we've covered other things where men have rejected God, proclaiming themselves to be wise, proclaiming themselves to be powerful. And what do we have? We find that they became fools. These are the elite, the educated, the atheist, the evolutionists. Where did he get all those ideas? Who inspired them? Well, another thing that atheists ought to do if everything came from nothing, here's another saying that God has for you. In addition, get your own Big Bang, get your own dirt. Don't start with my dirt that I've created. You create your own dirt, and you make your own man. But even if you did that, that would be an absolute pittance compared to what God has done. All right. Let's pick it up here at Isaiah 40 and verse 12. So men think they're intelligent. Men think that their ideas are important, their theories are important. You listen to some of these men explain some of their theories, and they need billions and billions and billions and billions of years. But let me ask you a question. Has anything ever came from nothing? No. Has anything created itself? No. Has any mutation of any animal or human being resulted in another species? No. See, because they reject the word of God. So God says this beginning in verse 12, Isaiah 40. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands? Look at the whole ocean. And meted out the heavens with a span? Who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, and who has been his counselor that he might instruct him? And isn't that what evolution is trying to do? Oh, well, God, you didn't make this. Just give us billions of years, and we'll create an evolution. Well, have they done it? No, they haven't done it. And you know what is the biggest missing thing in their theory? They have never found the missing links. And if there's so much life in the world, you would think there would be billions of missing links buried in the strata somewhere, but they can't find them. So God says, verse 14, with whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and made known the way of understanding to him? This is the God whom we're dealing with. God the Father and Jesus Christ, as we found in John the first chapter in verse 1 through 3. God is great. God is magnificent. God is awesome. God's word is so powerful, as we will see, that he can speak. And it's done. God is so righteous that every word he speaks is true. And God is so powerful that he can make all of the prophecies be fulfilled exactly, crossing every T and dotting every I to have it fulfilled his way. Now compare that to the weathermen today who have all of these so-called high technology things. How many times do they miss the mark on predicting the weather? Many times. But God has never missed the mark. Let's see what he says. Verse 15, behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. Now, we're going to talk about Satan, the devil, and the nations a little later on, because Satan thinks, oh, this is great. This is marvelous. He told Jesus, if you worship me, I'll give them all to you. Because it's been given to me, and I give it to whomsoever I will. But what does God think of this? Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the scales. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing in vanity. So when we lift ourselves up with our great intellect and we say how good we are, how intelligent we are, how much we know, compare yourselves to God. And what do you have? You have to breathe, which God gives. You have to eat, which God has created. You have to live your life, don't you? Yes. And how long is your life really? Well, one breath and it's over. Is that not correct? And yet who created you in the womb through the power of procreation, and who gave you the first breath, which continues your life long until your last breath, correct? God did, because in him we live and move and have our being. Verse 18, To whom then will you compare God, or what likeness will you compare to him? What are you going to do? Now, men like to make images. Oh, men like to have things so that they can have a God, they can have a superstition, they can have prayers, they can have all of these things that look righteous. But what does God say about it? The workman melts a graven image, the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. He who is too poor for that offering chooses a tree that will not rot, and he seeks a skillful workman for himself to prepare a graven image that will not totter. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yes, let's have this little fat belly god over here. Let's have this wonderful totem pole over here. Yes, let's have this basilica all filled with saints and obelisks and pictures and all of this. And aren't we righteous and don't we look good? No, God says, verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? He who sits above the circle of the earth, so they knew it wasn't flat. See, there's nothing new under the sun. And its people are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. That's how great God is. You look at some of these pictures through the new Hubble telescope and you see trillions of stars, hundreds of millions of miles and billions of light years away. And you think, oh, isn't that awesome? You know, we have an opportunity to see those things as no segment of history of mankind has ever seen them. So when we look at the beauty and look at the creation, and then we decide in our minds there is no God, that poor individual is, as the Bible says, a fool. Because God is demonstrating that he is there, and he says here that it is so. So verse 25. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number, he calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, and not one fails. Isn't that fantastic? Don't you want to get to know this God, who was Jesus Christ, who came to reveal the Father? Don't you want to get to know God the Father and Jesus Christ? Do you want to know what their plan is? Do you want to know the purpose as to why you're here? It's all in the Bible. It's all right there for you to know. That's why it's important to understand the Bible. This is why we have done the Holy Bible in its original order, a new translation, a faithful version. Because you see, we at Church at Home and CBCG.org, Christian Biblical Church of God, we have no politics. We have no private doctrines. We want the truth of God. We want the righteousness of God. We want to understand what God is and to preach the truth as Jesus has commanded us. And here's part of it. It's not that we are anything of ourselves. We're all like other human beings. But God has a calling. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. And why are few chosen? Because very few repent. Because, see, as you seek God, as you come to understand him and see it from the Bible and understand the things that we have been reading here, you begin to understand that God is loving and kind and merciful, awesome and powerful, and has created everything that there is, and you and every human being, if they would only come to God, will understand that you and I are special creations of God. And that he wants to give us the understanding of his truth from his word, that he wants to grant us his Holy Spirit and eventually eternal life. But the only way you're going to find it is in the Bible and in the truth of God and with the Spirit of God to lead you to understanding. So we need to know who God is, what God is doing, how He's doing it, where do we fit into the plan of it, and how is it that we understand His Word. And then we will begin to see, once we understand that, and once we understand that the Bible, yes, really is the truth of the Word of God, then we can begin to understand right from wrong, good from evil. Because we see what God says is good. We see what God says is righteous. We see what God says is love. And we see what God says is evil and wickedness and carnality and foolishness and sin. Well, all of these things are available. And this is why we have church at home, because you're not going to hear these words in any church that you're going to go to, but you can at home. Because the churches of this world are falling apart as rapidly as bricks are falling down off a wall that is collapsing. That's why church at home, so you can come to know and find God and the truth. So once again, visit our other website, cbcg.org, and be sure and download those sermons concerning the righteousness of God and especially the love of God. You've got to know the love of God, and that will help you and inspire you to seek God even more. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.